Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. And today I'd like to welcome back to the program Michael Rollman. His new book is Egg, a culinary exploration of the world's most versatile ingredient. Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
Last time we had you on the show last year, we talked about your book Schmaltz and the improved edition of charcuterie. And you mentioned that you were working on this new project, and wow, this is an amazing project. I can't believe nobody's done this before.
There have been other egg books out there, but they haven't really looked at the egg the way I did. I try to simplify things and clarify things and think about things. And the way the book came about was I was working on Rollman's 20, sort of a general cookbook. And, you know, in that book, I say there are 20 things you need to know in order to cook anything. One of those things you need to know is how to use an egg. For each of those 20 techniques, I came up with 5 representative recipes. And for most of these techniques, it was very easy. But for the egg, the mind just boggled because there was so much you could do with an egg. How do you choose 5 recipes that represent all you can do with an egg? And so I had to shake my head clear and think about this logically. So I had to get very simple. Okay, you can use the egg in the shell, or you can use it out of the shell. Use it in the shell, you can cook it hard, medium, soft. Take it out of the shell, you can boil it, poach it, bake it, deep fry it. You can blend it, and then you can do it. And suddenly I realized that we can make this whole huge flow chart of all the things the egg could do. I got my wife, Donna, my photographer, into the dining room, and I unrolled a huge roll of parchment paper and had to write down all of these things that you could do with an egg as a flow chart. And that was my book proposal.
And when we go to the very back of the book, there's a little pocket, a very handy little pocket there, and there's the flow chart.
Yeah, Little Brown did such a wonderful job in recreating this idea. They thought it was really, really important, and they've done a beautiful job recreating that chart.
The book is Egg, a culinary exploration of the world's most versatile ingredient. Okay, let's talk about eggs. What is it about eggs?
Where to begin? It's first of all, they're beautiful. They're just beautiful to look at. They're beautiful shaped. They contain all the stuff of life. All the stuff needed to create life is in this delicate but sturdy little shell. And you've got this. It's like this miracle of nutrition. Economy. Eggs are not expensive. Even the most expensive eggs are one of the cheapest sources of protein we have. They're delicious, and they're incredibly versatile. They give you great versatility in the kitchen, whether you're making a meringue, whether you're clarifying a stock with the egg white, whether you're making a custard for a bread pudding or for a breakfast strata or something like that. It seems endless, all the things you can do with them. What I found interesting was I grew up in the 70s when we were told that eggs were bad for us. So they are also an emblem of Americans' gullibility and stupidity, that we took this again, a miracle of nutrition, economy, deliciousness, and utility, and we vilified it. When we should have been holding it up for the miracle that it is.
Well, you obviously weren't paying attention because you'd come home after school and you'd make yourself some potato and onion cheese frittata.
That's absolutely right. That was one of the first dishes I ever made as a child. I was home alone a lot as a kid. My parents both worked, and if I was hungry, I had to make something to eat. You know, there's only so many frozen bagels and space food sticks you can eat before you get tired of that. And someone, a fourth grade economics teacher or home ec teacher or something like that, taught us all how to make a frittata, basically. And I made one at home, and it was delicious, and you know, it was fun. It's like, wow, I made this, and I felt good afterwards. And I've been cooking ever since. So the egg led me into cooking.
I think it's amazing how many people don't know how to cook eggs properly. And I think this book would really be helpful for a lot of those people, like the people that can't even hard boil an egg properly. You've got it all right here.
It's all right there. I don't know why people get sort of afraid of cooking the egg. Um, you know, they're afraid to poach an egg. They don't. They're afraid to do it wrong. It's the easiest thing in the world to cook. Hard boiling an egg is bringing water to a boil and covering the pot, basically. But I think the most important part of hard cooking an egg is cooling them afterwards. They've got to be chilled down fast so that they don't develop that greenish, sulfurish coating around the edge of the yolk.
And you use ice.
I use an ice bath. Yeah, plenty of ice, half ice, half water, and drop your eggs in there and cool them down fast.
We go through all the different varieties of preparing eggs, and there's so many of them. I was not familiar with sous vide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never, ever seen anybody do that. Tell us what that's about.
Sous vide means under vacuum, and it's is a cooking technique that it basically means precise temperature cooking. And it was a technology that started in France and now has been embraced by numerous chefs around the country here, where they vacuum seal something in a bag and cook it at, say, 143 degrees for 48 hours. You can do that with, say, you can cook a short rib at 140 degrees for 48 hours. That's medium rare. And yet it will tenderize because of the long time. It will tenderize this normally tough cut of meat. So you can basically serve a medium rare short rib, something you can't do any other way. When you cook an egg at 140 degrees for an hour, you get textures in the white and the yolk that you can't get any other way. So you get this really voluptuous yolk and this sort of very soft, very delicate white. And so I love cooking. I love cooking eggs sous vide. It's a technology that's of increasing use in the United States.
Gosh, I guess I'm not eating in the right restaurants. So this has come over from France.
It was developed in the 1980s in France. And I know about it because Thomas Keller, the chef at the French Laundry, brought it to the fore, and we wrote a book called Under Pressure. Which is all devoted to all sous vide cooking. And so that's where I learned about it. And more it's finding its way into the home kitchens.
You've done a lot of things with Keller, haven't you?
We've done 5 books together.
And that restaurant is a very, very legendary restaurant out in California. In fact, you have a great plug here on your press release, and it's from somebody that I think a lot of our listeners have probably heard of. And the quote says, "I am notoriously an egg slut." This book has everything you need to know about the ingredient that gives in so many ways and keeps on giving.
Yeah, that can be none other than the disreputable, frightening madman known as Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, and you've done some TV work with him, haven't you?
Happily, I have. Yeah, we were out in Las Vegas working on his show, Parts Unknown for CNN. Great show on Sunday evenings on CNN, and he's really brought sort of culinary and travel television to a new level of importance, as far as I'm concerned. He's a lot of fun to work with, and he's just one of the smartest people on TV working. Period.
Michael Ruhlman joins us. His new book is Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient, recently published by Little Brown. And he just told us about the technique of sous vide. I think a lot of our listeners have probably heard of coddling eggs, but they probably don't have a clue how to do it. And you give us all the instructions.
Yeah, absolutely. Coddled egg is just, it's put in a little coddler, and it's basically cooked in a water bath. But you can also just bake eggs. So you can bake them covered. You can bake them uncovered. That's usually called a shirred egg. And my mom was having trouble making perfect shirred eggs with spinach, which she loves. And so I made a recipe for shirred eggs Florentine for my mom because she wasn't getting it right.
Yeah, I see that. And it's got another lovely photo. And these photos, They're really appetizing. I was showing the book to my producer a few moments ago, and he looked at the photo of Marlene's bacon and sausage breakfast strata, and I think he was about ready to start drooling.
It's a good photo, a good recipe, and a great example of how versatile the egg is. You can basically make this ahead of time and leave it in the. You make a custard, you put bread and sausage in a baking dish, pour the custard over it, and you can basically let it sit in the fridge overnight, and then bake it when you get up, go straight into the oven, and be ready by the time everyone's ready for breakfast.
Eggs are so basic. In the book, you talk about how when chefs are testing out young aspiring chefs, or maybe I should just call them cooks, they almost always ask them to make an omelet. Now, why is that?
They often ask them to make an omelet, a prospective hire, because it demonstrates so many things. It shows that a cook shows the level of finesse a cook has when working with food. Does he know how to handle the food properly? It's just a great all-purpose. You know, if you can't cook an egg properly, you don't want them in your kitchen.
When I think of eggs, of course, I think of breakfast, but I also think about all the amazing desserts that have eggs in them, and you've got a pile of recipes in here for desserts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, eggs are, eggs are used, so they're one of those few ingredients that are used throughout the whole spectrum of a meal, whether it's a canopy, like a deviled egg. Whether it's a first course, whether it's part of a main course, whether it's a garnish, or, of course, the dessert course can be a custard like a creme brulee, a creme caramel. You don't have cakes without eggs. I mean, you do have, there are eggless cakes, but they're not nearly as good as cakes using eggs. There are things like panna cotta, which is basically cooked in flavored cream, usually gelled with gelatin. But I've got a recipe here, which would have been the original way of solidifying the cream, which would be using egg white. So you know, just the whites are used, and oh, the white. See, I go on and on. Mm-hmm. The white is just an amazing thing in itself. That was a real revelation to me when I started writing this book. It was like all the meringue. Is like deserves its own flow chart. You can just bake a meringue and it's a crisp cookie. You can mix it with flour and sugar and bake it, and you've got an angel food cake. You can top a lemon meringue pie with it. You can make marshmallows with the meringue. You make nougat with the meringue. There's just so many things that a meringue can do. It's one of those wonders that the egg white alone can achieve.
Wow, I just had lunch. I'm starting to get hungry all over again. Michael Rolba joins us. His new book is Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient. I like to go to garage sales because you never know what kind of little treasures you'll find. And now and then I'll be at a sale and I'll look at something on a table and I'll say, now, this is obviously some sort of a kitchen implement, but what the heck is it? And it's probably something that was in common usage 100 years ago, but now it's almost unidentifiable. I understand you've developed quite an expertise in these obscure items. In fact, don't you have some kind of a business on the side where you actually try to get people some help in obtaining these sorts of implements?
Well, we've created a number of cooking utensils that I thought weren't good enough or didn't exist in the cooking world. For instance, one of those things is our badass perforated, aka egg spoon, which is in effect a deep dished. Perforated spoon. Perforated spoon is one of the great things in the kitchen. We need perforated spoons for lifting stuff out of liquids, and they're very versatile. But so it's that. But I also knew that if you wanted to make a perfect poached egg, you need to let the thin white drain off so that you're left with the thick part, the more viscous part of the egg white. And so I created this spoon so that you could drop an egg into the spoon. And the bowl of the spoon is big enough to hold an entire egg and let the thin white drip off, slip the egg into some simmering water, and then you have this perfect egg. I also think flat-edged wooden spoons are really important. So we made some really high-quality flat-edged wooden spoons. We make offset spoons for basting and tasting and saucing. It's all basically my efforts to get people to cook, to get people cooking. The world is better when we cook our own food.
So do you come up with a design and then find, I know you're there in the hub of manufacturing in Cleveland, do you find a manufacturer that can then reproduce an item to your taste?
Basically, I come up with a general design. Then we have a manufacturer. My friend Mac from high school, who's a manufacturer, says, "Mike, I got to show you what I do." He was over one New Year's Day. We were having a party. He said, "What do you want to make?" "I make stuff. I can make anything." And I bent the spoon to use it to baste with, but it was awkward and clunky and inelegant. I said, "I want to make this spoon." He says, "Done. We can do that." And that's how we did it. That's how these tools come about.
So he must have like machine tools.
They're manufactured in China.
I see.
It's just a fact of life that we'd have to charge, $50 for a spoon if we manufactured it in America. Alas, I'd love to be able to manufacture these spoons in America, but it's not possible. Sadly.
Gotcha. Well, fortunately, we don't have to get our eggs from China.
I'm glad we don't have to get our eggs from China. We also use a company here in Cleveland to package and distribute them. So we are, and they employ disabled people. So we are doing what we can for regional economy, at least, or Cleveland economy, where I'm based.
Now, if a listener wanted to check out some of these implements, is there a particular website where they would look? Is it your website or is it?
Yeah, they would go to my website, and there's a link called Tools, and that will take you to the site where the tools are available, and they can look at them.
And you also have a very active presence on Twitter, and I see where you actually had some input into this book through Twitter in a way.
When I have a question, I ask people. So there are two. Yeah, Twitter helped me in a couple instances here. One was I was looking for a way to use the white in a steak tartare, because in a steak tartare I garnish that with a raw yolk, and that leaves me with the leftover white. And I asked Twitter, how would you use the white? And a cook from, I think it was, God, where is she from? From the Southwest somewhere, suggested grinding it with the meat. And it works out great. It's more protein in the beef. And pressure cooking eggs. There's a woman who runs a site called hippressurecooker.com. She's also on Twitter. And I found out that you could pressure cook eggs, and that made them especially easy to peel. And they cooked them perfectly. So that was I love Twitter as a reporter's tool, as an information distribution device. Mm-hmm. I think and just entertainment, and it's fun. I like the community that I have on Twitter.
Michael Ruhlman joins us. His new book, Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient. He joins us by telephone from Cleveland today. We were exchanging some emails, and you mentioned you're working on a photo shoot. Now, is this something where Donna is taking pictures of food? Or?
It is indeed. This is for a new series of books. I'm writing a series of books for Little Brown on basic technique. I believe that we don't need more recipes in this world. We're awash in recipes. What we need is more technique. And so I'm writing short, single-subject technique books. And the first will be out. First is roast, and it will be out in the fall. How to roast, it's called. And then we'll be doing a braising book that'll be out in late winter.
You're going to have your own bookshelf in the library at this rate. How many food books is it now?
17 food books now, and 4 non-food journalistic books.
Of which one I had you on. For many years ago, your book about wooden ships.
Wooden boats.
Wooden
that's
boats,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was thinking boats, and I thought, no, boat's not the proper word.
It was.
Okay. Michael Ruhlman joins us. Michael, I know you're very happy with this new publishing arrangement with Little Brown, and I frankly have had a personal quest here in the last month or so to try to feature as many books published by publishers like Little Brown and Hachette, because I have this feeling that I really want to help these books, and you're probably guessing why.
I know very well why. It's a great concern to all of us authors, who we're the ones who are getting hurt. Amazon is demanding better, basically being a bully to Hachette, which is an umbrella group of six different publishers, including Little Brown, and they are not making my book available on Amazon. There's no to buy book on for Egg. You have to go somewhere else, because Little Brown has said, we want a certain amount of money for our electronic books, and Amazon said, we want a better price, and until you give us a better price, we're going to discourage sales of your product, of your books. And that's very close to antitrust, as far as I can see.
That is so absurd, because this is a company that prides itself on being able to deliver your order within 30 seconds by drone if they have to.
Here's a company that began as a bookseller that is now discouraging the sales of books to get what it wants.
That is nuts. Michael Ruhlman joins us. When I read the ending of your book and your dedications and acknowledgments, I was tickled to see that you thank one of your best friends, Blake Bailey. I just finished reading The Splendid Things We Planned. How did you guys meet?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you read it. It's a wonderful book. We were put together early in our adulthood by a mutual friend. My oldest friend here in Cleveland, Les, was a fraternity brother of Blake Bailey's, and he said, you both are aspiring writers, and you're both living in New York. We were 20, I don't know, just out of college, so 22, say. You need to get together, and we got together for a beer and have since had probably way too many beers together over the last 25 years, 30 years almost. Good Lord.
Well, you guys must be almost exactly the same age.
We are off by 27 days.
Okay. Isn't he supposedly Philip Roth's official biographer?
He is indeed Philip Roth's official biographer. And he's also written wonderful biographies of Richard Yates and John Cheever and Charles Jackson. And he's now hard at work at the biography of Philip Roth.
Well, we digress, but you'll have to mention next time you talk to him that I brought him up, because I just love his writing.
I will tell him that. He'll be thrilled.
Okay. Michael Ruhlman joins us. His book is Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient. You just mentioned this series you're working on, roasting, braising, et cetera. How many books do you think that will encompass?
Well, the original contract is for four technique books, and then we'll see where we go from here once we're done. I'd like to see, I could see a dozen books on technique.
So is frying a technique?
Frying is definitely a technique. We have a pan fry and we have a deep fry. So that's a technique.
I'm somewhat fond of fried foods, and I noticed from reading your book that you are too.
I love fried foods. You should try a deep fried egg. They're fabulous.
Yeah, you've got some recipes in here for fried egg sandwiches that I was reading that at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I almost had to fire up the stove.
I love the it's a broken yolk fried egg sandwich, which my dad told me how to make long ago in my youth, and I love the broken yolk because it some of it cooks solid, some of it remains fluid like a yolk, so you have all the range of textures and flavors that you don't get when you just fry it, and you have the yolk as one texture and the white as another. So I love the variety of textures and flavors that you get when you make a broken yolked, softly sautéed in butter egg.
Well, I actually had stumbled on that myself, but mainly because I'm not very good at cracking eggs without breaking the yolk. And I agree with you that those are wonderful.
They are wonderful, and so much easier to make. And you know, again, shows you just even with a mistake, your eggs are still delicious. So they're, you know, I just when people say they're afraid of cooking eggs, they don't know how. Even your mistakes are delicious when you cook with eggs.
Well, I found out that after I'd broken the yolks that I did prefer them that way, so I started breaking them on purpose and using my finger. There's something somewhat sensuous about that.
That's exactly what I do, too.
Yeah. Well, I see we're running out of time, and I know you've got to go back and do some more photos. What are you taking pictures of right now?
We're gearing up to do, we're doing sautéed pork chops. We're doing them with apples and onions sort of sauté, and we're doing a pan-fried pork chop with topped with guacamole. That's on the agenda today.
You must have some very high-powered lights there in the kitchen.
Two, but they work.
Uh-huh. Well, these are lovely photos. My compliments to her. They really are a fabulous enhancement to everything else in this book.
Well, thank you so much. I'll let Donna know.
The book is Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient, written by Michael Ruhlman and photography by Donna Turner Ruhlman. And they're right now getting ready to take pictures of some food that I assume you've already cooked.
No, I'm about to cook it. We do everything a la minute here, so it looks fresh, and so it looks like it ought to look in your own kitchen. We don't do any studio. We do very little studio technique kind of stuff. I want people to see what their food can and should look like when they're cooking in their own kitchen.
So within just a few minutes of hanging up the phone, you're going to be there with your skillet?
I'm standing there right now.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time, and we'll look forward to seeing those books when they come out.
Well, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. Our guest has been Michael Ruhlman. The book, Egg, A Culinary Exploration of the World's Most Versatile Ingredient. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. We record The Book Nook in advance, so we have to do a lot of thinking about scheduling and trying to coordinate interviews with authors. And in so doing, it gives us a chance to look into the future and say, well, what do we want to do next? Well, every summer for the past 9 years, I've interviewed James Lee Burke, so that one's definitely on the horizon. We're going to be talking to James Lee Burke next week. He's got a new standalone novel called Wayward Stranger. And returning to her hometown of Urbana, Ohio, Beth Macy will be in the area the following week. She's written a book about globalization called Factory Man, and this is a powerful book that is receiving rave reviews in publications like the New York Times. The following week, we're going to be marking the 40th anniversary of Richard M. Nixon's resignation as President of the United States. We'll be talking to John Dean about his new book, The Nixon Defense. So that's what we've got coming up. James Lee Burke, Beth Macy, and John Dean in the Book Nook. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.